We've made it to Friday, and we're so glad to have you here on The Drive. It's spending a lot of time thinking about this Duke Carolina game tomorrow. We'll be at the Smith Center for it. But it's time to make a pick. This is where I've landed. I've wrestled with this quite a bit, and I'm just going to go with my gut here. Tomorrow is a bad matchup for North Carolina, and I think it's blatant. So I've got to pick Duke in this spot. On one side of the floor, let's just look at this from a basketball perspective. Sometimes you could get caught up in the storylines. North Carolina is 12-0 at home. Coach K is visiting the Smith Center for the last time. They're not going to let him lose. Hubert Davis, it's his first time in this rivalry as the head coach. Ah! But you can kind of lose sight of the basketball. It's easy to do that. Let's just focus on the basketball here when talking about this game. On one side of the floor, Duke's defense appears to have all the answers. Luke Nadkarny's in for Robert today, so I want to see how quick to the pull trigger he is. You got Armando Bacot.
Armando.
Obviously one of the better players in the ACC, but this is probably going to be his greatest test inside. Mark Williams leads the ACC in block shots. I think he's the best rim protector in the league. So that's going to be tough for North Carolina. UNC, pretty good from three-point range. We saw it against State last week. They had more than 10 makes against Louisville on Tuesday. They really rely on the three ball, and they're third in the ACC in three-point shooting percentage, around 40%. Here's the issue, though. Duke might be the best perimeter defensive team in the ACC. They're ranked top 30 in the nation in three-point defense. We saw it on Monday. Notre Dame really prides itself in running great stuff offensively, opening things up for guys like Lucheski who could step out there and hit threes, and you got Dane Goodwin, a lot of great players. They really could shoot the basketball. That's an NCAA tournament team. We saw it when North Carolina lost in South Bend. And what did Duke do? Completely shut them down. Duke held them to 3 of 19 from 3, 27% from the field, and by the time the second half rolled around, Notre Dame was starting its sets from the center jump circle rather than close to the three-point line. If that happens to North Carolina tomorrow, where all their screens and all their sets are starting from way out beyond the three-point line, good night. And I don't think North Carolina's seen anything like they're going to see with Duke, because on the other end of the floor, I have no idea how Carolina's going to handle Paolo. They might just take their poison and say, all right, Paolo, we'll let you have yours. We'll throw Manek out there and see what happens. We'll leave Manek out on an island against you and hope that we stop your supporting cast and just bank on the fact you can't beat us alone. They might consider doing that because I don't see any good options. I think Leaky Black gives him their best shot, but if Leaky's guarding Paolo, well, are you going to throw Manek on AJ Griffin? Have him close out on Duke's best shooter? And then what happens with the guards? Caleb Love's not a great defender. RJ Davis certainly isn't. And now you got Wendell Moore and Trevor Keels to deal with. It's just a bad matchup. That's what this is. That's what this is. Manek, he's been hunted on defense all year long. That's what Miami did with Sam Wardenberg, who had a night in the 28-point win by the Hurricanes. It's what Lucheski did at Notre Dame. It's Jake LaRavia had a night against Manek from Wake Forest. Manek has been very important offensively in the last week and a half. Since Dawson Garcia has been out, and he's not going to play again tomorrow, he's been great offensively. Leading the team in scoring against Louisville on Tuesday. Big against Virginia Tech late last Monday night in a game that really put North Carolina in the right direction as they've now won 4 in a row. But defensively, it's tough. And I don't know how you're going to be able to hide them in this game. Then, while we're talking about matchup, let's talk about a strength for Duke, which is so obviously a weakness for North Carolina. The bench. Depth. How many guys does Hubert Davis trust to play in this game? We know it's not going to be the freshmen, Dontre Styles and DeMarco Dunn. Those guys, they're not playing in a blowout against State with 10 minutes left to go. You think they're going to throw it? Hubert's going to throw him into the Duke game? No. So, Anthony Harris isn't returning this year. Dawson Garcia, he's out for tomorrow. Fifth straight game he's missing. So, beyond the five starters, how many guys are going to play for North Carolina? Justin McCoy has to play. Kerwin Walton, yes. And maybe Puff Johnson? So, you're looking at 7.5, maybe 8 guys that they can play. And I don't know if Hubert trusts even 2 of those guys coming off the bench. I don't know that. As for Duke, like I said, Trevor Keels, he's back. And he played 26 minutes Monday. If he's not coming off the bench, then Jeremy Roach is, who's been awesome of late. Might have been the best player on the floor against Clemson last week. You got Joey Baker, Theo John, some experience from Marquette. Oh, there's Bates Jones. They got 9 guys that they can play that they feel good about. That could be a problem. Listen to Coach K talking about Trevor Keels being one of the best players on their team and what it means to have him, but really this bench that they can rely on the road.
One of our best players. And
game or so, Chris Duhon went coast to coast, put Duke in front with 6 seconds left. They win that game in Chapel Hill. Next.
Number 3.
Michael Jordan's last game at Carmichael. So, Coach K's been around long enough. There are memorable matchups at Carmichael. Before 86, the first game played at the Smith Center. First point scored ever at the Smith Center belonged to Mark Allery. Allery was a sophomore alongside Jay Billis in 1984. This was Coach K's first really good team. It went to double overtime in Chapel Hill. Michael Jordan found a way to win it in double OT against Johnny Dawkins, Jay Billis, Mark Allery and company. It was Michael's last game at Carmichael.
Amaker was a freshman that year too, I think. I mean, that was like the beginning.
Yes,
Duke.
No doubt.
Number 2.
The Trey Jones game.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it was between this and Rivers.
Well, thanks for spoiling number 1.
Oh, come on.
But if this game featured more high-level players, like NBA draft prospects, it's probably number 1. If the game had better uniforms, maybe it's higher up on the list. That was the game they had. The
the blue versus the blue, right? The solid.
Oh, yeah. They were the one from 1919, 1920, which was really strange that they tried to do. But just going through the facts of the game, you might forget some of the details. Vernon Carey fouled out of the game at the under 4 media timeout. And before leaving the court, he walked over to Roy Williams to shake his hand. At that point, you think the game's over because they're up by a dozen. Vernon Carey just fouled out. This guy's an ACC player of the year front runner along with Trey Jones. And so then North Carolina combusts. Duke comes all the way back. It's the Trey Jones banked off the front of the iron back to himself, hits the jumper to tie it. Walker Miller's hitting a free throw in overtime to put North Carolina in front.
Yes.
And then in the tie game, Trey Jones has another shot off the Miff's free throw that he got the rebound for. He misses it. Wendell Moore Jr. puts it back at the buzzer. 2 buzzer beaters in the same game. Duke wins it. And the thing that sticks in my memory about this game being at it was this Carolina fan, for some reason, that singled me out. Like, just say, hey, Josh, will you get a tweet about that play? What do you think about that play, Josh? You want to tweet that Trey Jones is scared? Trey Jones is scared! Like, the entire game, I don't know why he singled me out, and I don't know why he singled out Trey Jones, but I never paid attention to this guy the entire game until Trey Jones hit the shot at the buzzer in regulation. Then I turn around, and I don't say a word to the guy. I just look him dead in the eyes, and I saw a guy who just died inside. That's it. Because this guy was yelling, oh, Trey Jones is scared! And then Trey Jones hits that shot, and that's all I do. I turn around, haven't acknowledged this guy the entire game. Turn around and look at him, because that's really it. So that's number 2.
That's one of the best, like just one of the best college basketball games to
have
watched.
But it's not number 1 because this is
number 1.
It's Austin Rivers. Where were you?
I was a senior in college, and I had a friend who was a huge North Carolina fan, and I watched it with him. So I was in his he was living on campus, so I was in a dorm room, and we were the only two by the end of the game. We had some people. He lived on the same floor as some of the basketball players, so they popped in and said hey and watched bits and pieces of the game. But it was just me and him in his dorm room when Rivers hit the shot, and like he was devastated. And I'm just like yelling just because, right? No interest for either side, just love a good game and a good finish. And I'm just like guttural noises really loudly, eyes wide, staring at him while his hands are covering his face. It was wild.
See, I was on campus too, and I did a campus radio show that day, and I had Bob Harris on, former voice of the Blue Devils. And I remember he told me, I think Austin Rivers has the chance to have a signature Duke Carolina moment tonight. And I was in the dorms as North Carolina's collapsing, missed free throws, Tyler Zeller tipping it back into his basket, the whole deal. And he hits the shot, and everybody on our suite just floor went nuts. Yeah. Can't believe that just happened.
That's the wild thing about being college-aged when games like that happen is, again, because we were in a dorm room, at some point, a couple minutes later, once everybody processed and you heard yelling from literally both sides of the hallway, everybody steps out into the hallway and is like, wait, did you guys see that? What about that shot?
It is weird that a lot of the better games that he's had, a lot of the great games of this series are in Chapel Hill. Like, I'd say 7 of the 10 best games of Coach K versus Carolina are in Chapel Hill. The other nominees actually aren't in Cameron. I think about 89 at the Omni, that legendary game where there was 45 or 46 fouls called, or the game in Charlotte in 2019 where Zion actually played against Duke. So those are games that come to mind. But this was Coach K. I thought this was a really cool deal. Talking about his memories of going to Chapel Hill, when asked about it, making a point about the name of the building the Tar Heels play in.
What really is good is that Carolina named the arena after the appropriate man, Dean. It's the Smith Center. And he deserves that. And hopefully in the future, no one will sell that. You know, we have a tendency to sell those things because that's earned. You know, he's one of the greatest coaches of any sport ever. And the fact that that arena is named after him is so appropriate.
Pretty cool. I hope that North Carolina does the right thing and at least acknowledges Coach K in some way tomorrow. That's a positive thought, though, which I think leads perfectly into weekly positivity. I'm Johnny Knoxville, and welcome to Jackass. That's good. You can. That's really loud. The waves. I enjoy it though. If you have something positive you'd like to chime in with, could be sports related. It might not be. 336-777-1600. We're playing weekly positivity. The new Jackass movie came out today. That's good.
I suppose it's got a place in my heart as a, you know, a once teenage degenerate, right? I think that's kind of the point. You go back to see it with. I'm interested in like. I don't have a lot of old friends from that period of my life that are like within the proximity that would justify going to see it with them. But it fascinates me that the groups, the type of group that people will go see that with.
Hmm.
Right? Like you reach out to, the people I hang out with on a regular basis are not the people I was hanging out with at 13 years old. But if I was around them, I would be compelled for nostalgia's sake to hit him up and be like, yeah, hey, you know what? Let's go see Jackass.
That sounds like it would be a good in-theater experience. So yeah. I might do that at some point. Tell me something good, Darren.
It's like 70 degrees.
That is good. I'm sweating.
It's wild. Wild.
Luke's wearing a heavy jacket right now.
I am. I'm just kind of programmed to be dressed like this time of year. I mean, it's been so cold lately, but my positivity is my cousin and his wife out in Seattle just had a baby girl.
Wow!
8 pounds, 5 ounces.
What's her name?
Her name is Sierra.
Sierra, with an S or a C?
With an S.
Yeah!
Sierra in Seattle.
Yeah.
The alliteration there. That's good.
That's pretty good.
Like
that is good. I'm going to go to Village Tavern for dinner tonight. That's good. Figuratively. And in terms of the culinary experience, it's really good. Going to be like a late dinner. What's the latest dinner you go on? Because I'm going to go to dinner like well past 7 or 7:30. It's going to be a late dinner tonight for me.
Oh, I'm a late dinner guy.
See, I've been doing the intermittent fasting, and at times it hasn't been good. But I think largely it's good.
Yeah. You hitting up the Peloton. That's good.
Yeah.
Back on track with that?
Every day. I'm on that thing, except today.
It's always every day, except when it isn't.
I think 4 on and 1 off is not bad.
No, that's good, man.
That is good. And that's been weekly positivity. See how much nicer it sounds when he doesn't immediately cut it off like Robert does? He just fades it out.
Robert's done with it. By the time we're through with it, and I'll tell you, it's growing on me. As a segment, I used to hate it.
Mm-hmm. You are listening to WSJS Winston-Salem in Greensboro, WPC in Burlington, WMFR High Point. Those signals make up WSJS Sport. This is a segment that hasn't grown on Darren that he actually hates. It's called the Big Four. Get your fours up.
Sail with the pilot for the sea.
The Big Four.
Four.
The Big Four.
Four.
The Big Four.
Four.
That's a big ten.
Four.
There we go.
All right.
To be clear, I understand and respect its utility as a segment. You can quickly make your way through some things. You got the you know, quick cutting music. I get it. I don't love it.
If you miss any of the show, make sure you find it on the Best Of podcast. Like, we just had Gerald Henderson on in the last 30 minutes, and he was really good. Or really good.
Big segment's
Gerald
over.
Henderson
nope,
fan.
Nope.
Yeah, that segment's over. We're going to have Joel Berry on at 5:30. We've had a ton of great Duke Carolina guests on all throughout the week. If we're recapping the list, we've had Wes Miller, Jones Angel, B-Dot, Jay Billis, Mike Schrage, Gerald Henderson, and Joel Berry to wrap things up a little bit later on today. If you miss any of that, it's on our podcast channel. Rate, review, subscribe to all those
kudos.
Great things.
That is, I mean, every single one of those people that you just listed has some direct affiliation with this rivalry. That's a good week.
Boom. That's what I tried to do. Number 4 on the Big Four. Last night, speaking of Mike Schrage, Mighty Elon took down UNCW.
Rise, damn Phoenix.
Darren, talk about your guys.
That's a big win. Big, big, big win. I think UNCW, who was not initially picked to finish very well in the CAA, eventually had to come to earth. But, what a boost for the Mighty Phoenix that it's them that get to end that streak.
Say the name of the school they beat again.
UNCW.
Uh-huh. See, you say W a little weird. And
no, I say W. I say what it is, not
right.
W.
You know what's funny? It used to be a thing. I don't know if people still do this anymore. When you interview someone for a radio job, they ask you to say W.
Well, usually the call letters will include that.
Correct.
So,
correct.
You know, if you say the name of the station, WSJS.
Uh-huh. See, I say WSJS.
Which is fine.
See, the British Tar Heel, I was doing dinner with him last weekend, and when he was here before he flew back to Britain and all. And he said that I have a thick southern accent. This is news to me. And B-Dot agreed with him. He's like, Josh, you have a southern accent. Really? I've never been told this in my life. Do I have a southern accent? Anybody hear this?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Not compared to some people I went to NC State with.
Yeah, but to that point, you know, I'm usually told I sound like I could be from just about anywhere. Like, people will guess at times where I'm from, and they'll say, like, Kansas or Michigan or whatever. But occasionally you'll meet somebody, and whatever it is, they just have a better radar for it, and they're like, oh, you could be from Texas, and it wouldn't surprise me. And I don't know exactly why, but I don't know. I don't hear it with you, Josh.
Thank you. Also, last night, top 10 matchup out west in Tucson. Arizona knocked off number 3 UCLA. Love Bill Walton on games. Love him. If you dislike Bill Walton on games, odds are he's broadcasting your team. And I guess I understand that. But if he's not broadcasting your team and you don't like Bill Walton, then odds are we can't be friends. That's simple.
Yeah, I love Walton calling a game. As someone who also does games, I envy people like Dave Pasch, who was on that call with him last night. Like, it would be the ultimate test to do a game with Bill Walton. It's a form of improv comedy, and I don't know if I would be good at it, but the thought of trying excites me. Like, I would love to do that.
Yeah. I think we were talking to Mike Monaco about that last week, and he said that he would love the opportunity to do a game with Walton, but didn't lie. He said he'd be kind of scared at first. Like, how are we going to handle this? Number 3 on the Big Four. Number 3 thing that people are talking about today. Last night's All-Star rosters announcement. So we learned about the reserves, and I think that announcement makes tonight's game in Charlotte more interesting because it's Cleveland versus the Hornets, and it's a game that featured one of the last players, I'd imagine, in to the Eastern Conference field, and probably the next 3 guys who were left off the list. So you look at the guys who got in, Darius Garland among them.
Having a really
from
good
Cleveland.
Year.
Having a great
player,
year.
Probably deserving.
And this is why I don't have an issue with LaMelo Ball or Miles Bridges being left off, because it's really difficult. You only have 12 guys who get in. A normal NBA roster is 15 guys. Maybe you should consider expanding it, I don't know, to 15. I don't know if they'll do that, but it's tough to get in. And the top 3 snubs, I'd imagine, are Bridges, LaMelo, and Jared Allen, who are all going to be in action tonight in Charlotte. That game's going to be on NBA TV as well. Another guy you could argue is a little bit higher up on the totem pole than LaMelo would be Drew Holiday, who was left out. Chris Middleton was the second Milwaukee Buck to make it into the All-Star field. Number 2! On the Big Four, the number 2 story that people are talking about. We're still looking for odds here for Duke and North Carolina. If you had to set a point spread for this game, where would you set it, Darren Vaught?
What did you say with Ed and Winston-Salem, I think it was earlier?
I would set it at 5.5, 6 points. That's where I would put it.
You know what? If I'm trying to entice people, as Vegas is trying to do, I might go a little bit wider than that.
Right.
How about Duke 8.5?
Sucker them. And I picked North Carolina to win by, or I picked Duke to win by 9.
There you go.
I got Duke by 9 in the game. 81-72. So odds are the game's going to go over as well. I'm not a betting man, but if I were for college basketball, probably stay away from the point spread on this one. Might just bet
it's different.
The over.
It delivers.
Bet the over. That's what I would touch on. At number 1 on the Big Four today, the number 1 story that people are talking about in sports, a chicken named Henny Penny has been taken into custody. Yep. In Washington, D.C., a wandering chicken named Henny Penny was caught sneaking around at a security area at the Pentagon. This is according to a local animal welfare organization. It's a loose hen. It was found Monday morning. This is near the U.S. Department of Defense headquarters. And
so they went to danger level red immediately.
The social media group for the Department of Justice posted, apparently the answer to why did the chicken cross the road is to get to the Pentagon. That's what they posted. This chicken was taken into custody. I wonder if that chicken is still alive.
All right, how do they know its name?
They named it.
So that's not its name.
Uh-huh.
They just named it after taking it in.
That's right.
And likely doing away with it. Like, you don't get to name it. If it had a name tag and was someone's pet prior to you discovering it.
Okay. Well, she's now known as Henny Penny. I'm reading further in the USA Today story. It was one of the names given to the chicken that thinks, quote, the sky is falling in a folk tale. So
then it was given
more notoriety when Jimmy Fallon performed a song called Henny Penny on The Tonight Show. And in the song, he sang, are you a normal clucker or an undercover spy? Dangerous word there.
Yeah.
He sang in the episode. So apparently the chicken is still alive. It's being adopted by a staff member who has a small farm in Western Virginia.
All right.
Henny Penny. Chickens aren't nice. So I'm fine with them taking precautions there. Chickens aren't nice.
I got two issues with the DOJ here, if I'm being honest. What are you freaking out about a chicken for?
Well, I didn't sound like you were freaking out. They just took care of business.
They just take
trespassing chicken.
No.
And then they gave the chicken a home.
They give it home. That's fine. That's fine. But also, can we talk about that social media post?
Yeah.
You're not funny, DOJ. Don't try to be.
Yeah.
Just know yourself.
Stop being funny.
I get that it's Twitter.
Not everybody
stuff.
Has to make jokes on Twitter.
Exactly.
On the bird.
100%. The bird app.
Mm-hmm. And that's been the big four for today. We got the movie game coming up at 4:30. It's going to be Darren versus Luke.
Oh, I had not been informed. All right, uh-huh. Luke, what up?
Trying to keep you on your toes.
We've done this before, haven't we?
We did this once before, I think. Yeah.
Who won that? I think Luke did.
I did.
Right?
I think he annihilated me.
Uh-huh. But Darren's still been on a really hot streak in these movie games.
It's true.
You know, some have suspected that Darren is cheating.
Somebody.
Uh-huh. That's right. I've been told this. Many people are saying... Now, I got the movie game, so I'm the one that's chosen the movies here, and I'm not giving you the theme, even though I bet you can guess it. 4:30, we're going to play the movie game. Joel Berry a little bit later on from that. Okay, before we do that, though, another NFL head coaching vacancy has been filled since the last time we spoke. I'll share some thoughts on that, plus Darren will tell us about what's going on with High Point Basketball. How about our guy Adam Gold making some news today? Boo Corrigan on the show and said Kevin Keats is our guy. Kevin Keats is our basketball coach, and I support Kevin Keats. Everyone wants to win more. I'm not going to shy away from that. But you look at the effort the guys are playing with. You look at the connectivity that they have to Coach Keats and his staff. You look at how hard he's coaching and what as we're going through this, obviously, it's a tough time, but he's our guy. He's our coach, and we look forward to brighter days ahead. Boom.
I'm a Keats believer.
I agree with all of that, but we all kind of understand what it is.
Yeah.
This year? All right, that's fine. Next year, though, if you're not able to keep Sebron, if you're not able to keep Tre'Quavion Smith, we learned this with Danny Manning. Retention is a part of the job now. It is. If you can't retain that talent, and next year you're not an NCAA tournament team because you lost that talent and you weren't able to bring something back in through the transfer portal, well, then I have no issue moving on from there. But it was always ridiculous. The moment Manny Bates got hurt a minute into the season, suggesting that Kevin Keats should lose his job, regardless of what happens going down the stretch. So good on Boo Corrigan for going on the radio here on WSJS Sports, pointing that out a few weeks after he was announced to be the college football playoff committee chair.
I was going to say, maybe he just doesn't really have time to deal with a new hire. Yeah. He's
big year.
He's like, whether I like it or not, I'm sticking with Keats. Doesn't
big year
matter.
for Boo Corrigan. Also, I think he might be training himself. I'm going to say something that's unpopular. that doesn't appease the mad people on Twitter. So that way I train myself.
And yeah, because he's going to be the guy.
That's right. He's going to be interviewed by Reese Davis each week. So
yeah.
You got to build a layer of armor. That's what he's doing today by saying things that Mad State fans don't want to hear. Even though I think Luke Nadkarni is on the Kevin Keats train still, right? Is that accurate?
I still like the guy. I still think he's, not to say he's the man for the job from what he's shown, but I'm not kicking him out the door just yet.
There you go. Let's play the movie game, you guys.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
It's time for some kind of movie game.
All right, all right, all right.
With Josh Graham and Darren Balk.
Show me the money.
Okay. If you haven't heard this before, shame on you. But these are the rules. I got three movies here that have a theme. And you guys got to try and guess the Rotten Tomatoes score for these movies. However many points you're off between 1 and 100, well, that's your score. We add up the three scores after three movies. If you're within 10 of each other, we get a golden movie to decide it. If you get it right on the nose, we subtract 5 points off of your score. I like this music and all, Luke, but turn it down a little bit. Jeez. I know you're into the 20s and stuff, but come on. All right, this is the theme this week.
He loved those Duke Carolina uniforms, too, from 2 years ago.
That's right. The Trey Jones game.
They never do that again.
In honor of Duke and Carolina, movies with blues in the title. Blue in the title, characters named Blue. All these types of things are possible.
Okay.
It is the Battle of the Blues. So blue is the theme.
I like it.
And the first movie that we're going with here, Blues Brothers. Darren Vaught, how's that theme song go? Have you heard it before?
No, never.
Never heard that song.
Never.
Uh-huh. That's right. Okay. Have you guys
not at the beginning of a radio show or anything?
Have you guys ever seen the Blues Brothers before? Luke, 1980, the Blues Brothers. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Oh, wow.
Remember, I'm horrible about movies.
Ooh, ooh.
Well, you won last time you did this.
I got hammered for this, by the way, with our friends at Sports Channel 8. I did their streaming show the other day, and Hayes was giving me... Hayes Permar, of course, who's in here weekly with you, was giving me trivia that sort of branched off the movie Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And it was set, such and such was the mayor in Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. He was also in this film. And I couldn't get, for whatever reason, I totally blanked on Wayne's World.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It was just, neurons weren't firing. Spaceballs was the other one, and that's
I watched that. You didn't know much about Carl Hess. You needed a lot of tips. All right. Let's start this off. Blues Brothers. Darren, do you guys both have scores written down?
I do.
All right. Darren, what's your score for Blues Brothers?
89.
Luke?
I'm going a little lower. I'm going to say 78.
Okay. 78, you say... Blues Brothers comes in at 92.
All right.
This is the audience score, 92.
It was well liked.
So Darren...
A lot of people like Blues Brothers.
...takes the early lead. Next movie. You're my boy, Blue! Old School.
You said names.
2003.
Knew this one was coming.
I close my eyes only for a moment. And the moment's gone.
I legit, like, so I was, I can't pinpoint the year. What year was this out?
2003.
So, I was a teenager, early teenager when this came out.
Frank the Tank.
It legitimately got me into the band Kansas.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I went through a spell where I really, really liked Kansas.
Chariots of Fire. I went and watched the movie. Chariots of Fire after watching this. Vince Vaughn's my favorite character in this movie. This is the Godfather. He sleeps right upstairs. All right. You've seen this movie, Luke.
I have. This is not one that I missed.
So I'll let you give your score first.
You know, if it should be 100 because this is a great movie, but I know it's not that. So I'm going to go with 63%.
Whoa. That's a big leap. That's a jump down.
63.
It doesn't take with everyone.
Okay. So he's being bold here. Doing,
all right. Okay.
Taking a little bit of a swing.
Respect.
Darren, what do you think?
I have 83.
Okay. Old School comes in at 86.
Right. Well,
so Darren, that means you're going to have to take a swing probably on this next one to make up a lot of ground. So you've got 6, Darren, and Luke has 37. So you have to make up quite a bit of ground, my friend. You got to make up 21 points on this next one. So make sure you take a swing on this one would be my advice. The third one in this Battle of the Blues theme movie game. Deep Blue Sea. A shark! A shark bleeping ate me! In Deep Blue Sea!
Alright, so you're
it's
not even doing a movie.
Beer.
You're not even doing a movie quote.
No, I'm
you're
doing the Dave Chappelle.
You're doing the Dave Chappelle thing based on the movie.
No, but I know the movie. LL Cool J's in it. I think Michael Rapaport's in this movie. Yeah! 1999's Deep Blue Sea. A bleeping shark ate me! Spoiler.
Best Chappelle.
Like, yeah, I'll have a Samuel Adams. That's what I'll have. Those who know. Whereas B-Dot taught me in grammar school. If you know, you know.
That's it.
All right.
Oh, man.
Darren, I'm going to make you give your score first.
All right. Just etched it down. We've got 70 for Deep Blue Sea. 7-0.
Right, Luke.
Man.
70 for Darren Vaught.
I'm going to say 49%.
Okay. 49%. All right. Got to do a little bit of math here. This is fun. Appreciate
this. Oh, is it in between us? This is close.
Okay. Talk amongst yourselves for a second.
All right, I have not seen Deep Blue Sea, if anyone was going to pose that
question. I saw it closer to like when it came out. See, that was my thing with like Wayne's World.
Wow.
And Spaceballs, talking about it. They're just not movies. They're not in like my wheelhouse.
Okay.
I don't watch them over and over again.
Deep Blue Sea comes in at 39.
Whoa!
Oh, man.
Which means you needed to make up 21 points, and guess what? You made up 21 points.
I'm the Bengals, baby. I'm like the Bengals.
Darren has 37. Luke has 47. That means we have a golden movie here to decide
it. A golden Bluden movie. A blue movie.
The golden movie is Avatar. Blue people. 2009's Avatar is the golden movie. This is it, y'all.
Fern Gully in space.
Got to make up 10 points. We'll see. Pretty much, you got to try and get it on the nose,
Luke,
would be your guess here.
The Smurfs meets Halo. That's always my impression of Avatar. I never saw this.
You never saw Avatar?
I was never interested in
this. I watched it in theaters, for sure.
I think people liked it, for the most part.
I'd say so. Oscar stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but that has less to do with the actual movie.
Okay. What's the score you got?
I've got 80 even.
80 for Darren. What do you have, Luke?
See, I don't think this movie was as universally loved as people think it was. I'm going to go with 56%.
And that's a good enough swing, man.
Uh-oh.
Tell you what. The results are in, friends. Avatar comes in at 82.
Oh!
Darren Vaught.
Yeah!
Wins in the golden movie.
Don't
here's
tell
your
me you're
moment.
Steve Harvey-ing.
Just here's your moment of zen, Darren Vaught.
Redemption. Got it this time. I got you this time, Luke. I'm 1-1. 1-1 against you. That's a you pushed it to the golden movie, so kudos. Kudos to you. I'm going to plug the podcast one more time. K and the Crazies. At K and the Crazies, spell it out on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe, rate, review. That would be much appreciated.
Yeah, watch her do High Point Basketball and the lottery.
Oh, lottery! Nighttime drawing tonight, boys!
Fox 8!
Fox 8, 11-22. Get your winning numbers!
I
might call them. Really, though? Since I started doing those, the Carolina Cash 5 has had a winner like half the time.
Whoa!
What's
we got
that?
Big news that just dropped. Big news that I need your reaction to since you're here.
Okay. This seems big.
Cowboy Joe West is retired.
Oh, yeah. No, that was announced, I think, before I walked in.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was expected. It was
Eastern
expected.
North Carolina zone.
Elon legend.
ECU legend. He played football at Elon and ECU, and he's a country music singer. And he's umpired more games than anyone in baseball history, a record
over
that's never going to be broken.
5,000, right? Is that the number?
That will never be broken.
North Carolina Sports Hall of Famer, Joe
100%.
West.
100%. Cowboy Joe West. Have an enjoyable retirement representing mighty Elon.
He will just be chilling. He will.
No, he's not. He's going to be playing country songs across the country.
No. No, no, no. He likes to pick a guitar and mess around and whatever. He's not going to go on tour anytime soon.
Oh, I
he's
go.
Not opening for Florida Georgia Line. He's chilling.
You and I
on
went
the
to
Florida,
go see
Georgia
T-Pain
line.
Amongst a bunch of college kids a few years ago. We'd go see Joe West if we learned he's playing at the Silver Moon Saloon in Winston.
Yes,
we're
Joe,
there.
Joe, do it. Come play the triad.
Standing room only, because that's all they got. Thanks for being here, buddy.
You got it. See you guys, Luke. Good seeing you.
Hot Darren, take care.
I hate it. I hate it when Darren does that. You could just say hi to Luke after. Anyway, I've got my pick for North Carolina Duke. And yes, I do think it's going to deliver. That's next on The Drive.
This is SportsCenter.
I'm Steve Lennox. A day after Major League Baseball requested the assistance of federal mediation to break the deadlock with the Major League Baseball Players Association, the MLBPA rejecting that request today. Baseball's work stoppage now in its third month, spring training, and the start of the regular season at risk of not starting on time. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reporting to...
Microphone. Check. All right, ready?
Here we go again.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham on WSJS Sports.
Joel Berry going to join us in 15 minutes to talk about the Duke-Carolina rivalry. This might be last call for phone calls today. 336-777-1600. It is a Rhinestone Cowboy Friday, too. Another head coaching vacancy was filled in the NFL last night. The Jags hired Doug Peterson a year after the Eagles fired him. I think that's a strong hire. But what it leaves now, the Houston Texans, the Miami Dolphins, and the New Orleans Saints with openings across the league. That's it. There were 9 openings. Now there are only 3. And amid his lawsuit that was filed earlier this week, Brian Flores is interviewed for 2 of those jobs, with the exception, of course, being the team that he coached last year. Out of the 2, I really could see Flores being hired by the New Orleans Saints, which means he'd be coaching in the NFC South along with the Panthers. Many have said earlier this week, when the lawsuit was initially filed, that this is disqualifying. He's never going to get another head coaching job again. No, there's no way that somebody's going to trust hiring this coach. And I disagree with that. I think that's overstated. I don't think it was disqualifying, I should say, because we've seen this movie play out before. Remember, Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed filed a lawsuit against the NFL that eventually settled. But that took about a year to get to that settlement. And during that time, Eric Reed went from being a free agent to being picked up in September of that football season by whom? The Carolina Panthers. David Tepper signed Eric Reed in Charlotte. I remember talking to Eric Reed in the locker room during the 2018 season about the lawsuit and everything that came along with it. I think if Eric Reed can be signed, Brian Flores can get a job. That issue, the Colin Kaepernick deal, was a lot more divisive than this Brian Flores story, because that got sabotaged by patriotism and it was wrapped in the flag and all of it, and that really forced people to pick sides, and Kaepernick was far from a perfect messenger. In this case, I think most people are with Flores. I think we kind of all understand what the Rooney Rule is, and if the Giants gave the job to someone and then made Flores essentially a token black person to interview just to fulfill the Rooney Rule in a sham interview, I think we can all kind of agree that's wrong. And I think most people see that. The New Orleans Saints, they might actually embrace this, because I don't know if you followed this at all, but in the last dozen years or so, they've quietly become the NFL's modern-day Oakland Raiders. And I say Oakland Raiders because way back when, they were the heel. Al Davis took the NFL to court, always felt like the NFL was out to get him. Right or wrong, that's how he felt, and he said so publicly. And that's what the New Orleans Saints have been the last decade. They felt the NFL and Roger Goodell's out to get them because they suspended Sean Payton this season, and they gave them bad referees for that championship game, and they didn't call the pass interference when they should have. That cost them a Super Bowl ring, so we're going to take the NFL to court. They tried to do that in the city of New Orleans. They made them change the rules for a year, allowing to review pass interference calls. So I think the Saints would gain some satisfaction by sticking it to the league, by bringing Brian Flores in, who's right now has an open suit against the league. I also think the suit might make Brian Flores look good. Shows leadership. This guy's about something. He thinks something's wrong and doesn't mind putting it out there, even if it cost him his career, future job outlook, right? It might hurt his chances of doing that, and he's doing it anyway. That's a coach that guys want to play for, I bet. So if you want to be a free agent destination, if you want to maybe even have that Deshaun Watson guy say, I'll approve a trade to the New Orleans Saints, the same way he reportedly did when Flores was in Miami, maybe keep an eye on that. Now, I don't know if the cap situation can be figured out to land Deshaun Watson in compensation as well. That's a tricky deal, but let's also not overlook the fact he's the most deserving coach, too. He's the most deserving candidate. In the end, let's not overthink this. You're hiring a head coach. You want to hire a good one. All these other guys that you're interviewing, I'm even lumping in Eric Bieniemy in this, you're guessing. All right, this guy's a great coordinator. Let's bring him in. He's going to be a great head coach. That's a guess. You don't know. Brian Flores, we saw it last year. He was a good coach. This guy's a good coach. Just you know, do that. Hire good coaches. And if Brian Flores is that, and it seems like he's the most deserving candidate, do it. I don't think he's out of these jobs. I think Brian Flores, if I had to guess right now, I think he gets the Saints job. On Twitter, at WSJS Sports, 336-777-1600, the number. Let's get back to North Carolina Duke. Joel Berry going to join us in a little less than 10 minutes. Here, I got Duke to win the game. I do. But these are the three things that need to happen in order for North Carolina to win. Like, if you're viewing this from a Tar Heel perspective, these are the things that absolutely need to happen for you to have a shot. And it starts with North Carolina's three-point shooting overcoming Duke's perimeter defense. You got to shoot close to 50% from three. That might sound like a lot, but they shot close to 60% against NC State. That's what it's going to take. Like, the margin for error for Duke is great. It is massive. That's why they can have 17 turnovers against Miami and still be leading that game, and shoot under 40%, by the way, and still be leading that game with 45 seconds left to go, and probably should have won it. It's why they can give up 19 offensive rebounds, Keels can go down with an injury, and you have 15 turnovers on the road in Tallahassee. And if not for an acrobatic, high-off-the-glass scoop shot by Raekwon Gray over both Paolo and Mark Williams, Duke wins that game in Tallahassee. So the margin for error is great. That's why Duke shooting 50, or Carolina shooting 50%, when you're third in the ACC in three-point shooting percentage at 40%, you got to bring it. That's what they're going to have to do. Definitely got to hit double-figure threes to have a shot. It's not improbable. I think that's where you begin. Trevor Keels, he can't go off. We spend a lot of time talking about Paolo, but consider this. When Trevor Keels scores in single digits this year, Duke is 3-3. Duke is 3-3 in games. Trevor Keels scores into single digits. And one of those games was, as he was working himself back, Monday against Notre Dame, if you want to count that, right? So he would have played more minutes if he was completely healthy. That was one of the wins. So Duke's been about a 500 team when Keels doesn't score into double digits. So for all the attention Paolo is getting and should get, he's an important player because when he's on, that level of aggression allows Duke to get to the rim. And when he gets to the rim, that opens up a lot of their shooters. It opens up A.J. Griffin. It opens up space for Paolo Banchero. So Keels, that's a really important player in this game. That's the second deal. Trevor Keels, hold him to single digits. And lastly, you can't get into foul trouble. Namely, three guys. Manic, Leakey, and Armando Bacot. I said, and Armando Bacot.
Armando.
They cannot get into foul trouble. Those are the three guys. If they're having to go out of the game because they picked up two or three in the first half, write it off. It's going to be a Duke win. So those are the three things. I think Carolina can accomplish some of it. I think it's going to be a good game. Hold Trevor Keels to single-digit scoring. 50% for three-point range. Don't get into foul trouble. If you do those things, I think you could beat Duke tomorrow at the Smith Center. 6 o'clock tip. Joel Berry, he's going to join the show. Does stuff for the ACC Network now. He'll share his Duke Carolina memories, and he'll break down the game. We'll get his thoughts since he's now watching it from more of an objective perspective. We'll see what he thinks is going to decide this game next on The Drive.
Westwood One Sports presents this special update on the 2022 Winter Games, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle home, auto, and motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. It's always kept a tight secret who the host nation selects to light the Olympic torch. Who can forget Muhammad Ali in Atlanta in 1996? Today in Beijing, two Chinese athletes, one in the Nordic combined, and a cross-country skier who is from a region in China where there have been accusations of human rights violations, even genocide. The games now get going for real. Always the first big event, the men's downhill. It's tomorrow night. Only twice has it been won by Americans. Bill Johnson in 1984. Tommy Moe, 10 years later. U.S. not expected to get a medal here. One of the favorites is Alexander Kilde. He's from Norway, but his girlfriend is Michaela Schifrin, the U.S. skiing star. Keep hearing about athletes testing positive. The latest, Germany's Erik Frenzel, a legend of the Nordic combined, where he's won 6 Olympic medals. John Stanshower, Westwood One Sports.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ready for an oil change? We can help get the right protection at the right price. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Daily Protection or Valvoline Max Life High Mileage Motor Oil with an STP oil filter for just $28.99. Visit one of our 6,000 stores or order from AutoZone.com for same-day store pickup or next-day delivery.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
We travel to see what's around the bend and what we're capable of. And now Capital One's new class of travel card can keep up with you. Introducing Venture X from Capital One. With 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy. Venture X, for those always asking, where next? Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See Capital.
Are you tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? D-Rex Pharmacy is now offering a money-saving alternative to Viagra. It's called Sildenafil. This 20-milligram tablet is less expensive and just as effective as Viagra. 5 tablets of Sildenafil equals 100 milligrams of Viagra. D-Rex Pharmacy is offering a huge cost saving on Sildenafil. You can purchase 50 tablets for just $75, less than $2 a pill. Here's pharmacist and pharmacy owner, David Morrison.
It's the same active ingredient. It works exactly the same. It does require a prescription, but it's going to save the patient an enormous amount of money by getting the Sildenafil instead of the brand name Viagra.
Call our toll-free number now and cash in on the huge savings. Free shipping is now available. 877-663-2046. D-Rex Pharmacy, 450 Winston Road in Jonesville.
It's not easy being the one everyone counts on to keep the facility running, no matter the weather or supply chain hiccup. But we get you, Raymond in Buffalo and Maria in Miami. Jules in Minneapolis and Stan in Central Indiana. Taking control of everything that's under your control. At Grainger, we're here for you with experienced branch staff at over 250 locations so you get the product you're looking for. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Alternative Power knows more is happening at home now than ever. And when a winter storm causes your power to go out, life is disrupted. A Generac automatic standby generator from Alternative Power guards the home against blackouts caused by weather of all types. Financing options are available. And act now for a free 10-year warranty. Terms and conditions apply. Gain peace of mind with a Generac automatic standby generator. Alternative Power, North Carolina's Generac experts. See more at alternativepower.com.